pick a window.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
World's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends. In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
Stepping from the shadows, our gamer goth, Miss Patricia Heltman.
I made it.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own James Tiberius Batman Lair, Jeff Bell.
You've known me for 40 years. You keep forgetting my name.
Yep.
That's fair.
It's because he's known you for 40 years.
Exactly. It's a run-on that I have to kind of get my head back to. If I skip a beat. Even the line just goes out of my head and it's like, motherfucker.
Is it like when you drive home from work and,
and you don't know how you got there?
You're like, how did I get home? I don't remember anything from the drive, just because you do it so much and it's so
ingrained. And yet you could be on your way home from work and something happens and you're like, where the fuck am I? How do I get home?
Oh yeah, I do that.
And it's not long. It's like half a second, but it's that moment of, what the fuck? And then you're like, oh, I am the dumb. Okay, I go home. So yeah,
I do that exactly thing where what it is. I'll get distracted and I'll miss like an exit and be like to the next exit and be like, damn it. Now I gotta turn around.
God damn it, Jesus. When you take the wheel, catch our fucking exit.
Right?
You had one job. One job, Jesus. Get me home. How's everybody's week or multiple weeks been?
Busy. So busy. But the school musical has had its final night. So my life is going to be much less chaotic. Thank the Lord.
Was that a whole week of the musical or just a few days?
So they had two casts. Uh-huh. And it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday last week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week.
Oh, they did a two-week run. Okay.
A two-week run, but then also had performances Monday and Tuesday this week that they brought elementary school kids over to watch. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been a lot of prep, a lot of helping behind the scenes, and then a lot of attending performances. I have now seen Addams Family Jr. performed by my kids' junior high 4 times. In 6 days of a run. So
nice.
You know, it's what you do as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
You show up and support. So, but yeah, that consumed most of my time and is why I'm behind on all of the shows still. But how about you guys? How was your weeks? Jeff?
Oh, nothing. Just busy getting the store ready for Free Comic Book Day in less than 2 weeks now. And
oh, damn.
Yep.
What day is it?
It's the first Saturday in May.
Well, I know that, but what?
The 6th.
The 6th. Okay. Damn it. I won't be here.
Are you going to be off at your wedding?
Yeah. That's the day of the wedding. Oops.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Tell him to give him a call
Jesus,
real quick.
Jesus, Camille.
Just tell him, hey, by the way.
By the way.
I can't make it.
I can't make it.
Unless you guys just want to rearrange your schedules.
What time's the wedding?
Right. I'll have to see. There's probably comic book stores in Medford, and I think the wedding's in the evening, so I think I can get away with sneaking to a comic book store and at least seeing some of the event.
Yeah.
There you go.
With, you know, like comic book shops within 10 miles of Medford, and then just go to one, pick up some free comics, have a fun time, and then go to the wedding. Yeah.
Yep.
And if they want you for something early in the morning, like a wedding breakfast, say, you know what, I'm going to be really hungover from the flight, so.
Right. Right.
I can't. I'm sorry. I'll be there. I'm there. You want to do a lunch or something? I'm there. But first, anytime before noon, I'm not going to do it because I just don't feel right. And then you go to the free comic book day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like it.
I'm looking it up. I'm Googling.
The Googling.
He's Google away.
I have the zip code for the
Airbnb. Oh, you get the zip code for the event. Oh, that'll be very helpful.
Yes. I'm bummed. I also won't be at Free Comic Book Day, and I'm very sad about that fact.
But you at least have a good reason.
I do. Wedding shredding. I do.
Right. What is your reason?
I signed up to volunteer at the Davis County Pride Festival this year.
Oh, nice.
Not quite realizing it was falling on Free Comic Book Day. And
why
so,
is that in May and not in June?
Big Pride is in June.
Because it's teeny tiny and only takes about 6 hours. Okay. And
Big Pride pretty much sucks all the oxygen out of the state. So they'll scatter them around in the smaller locales throughout the summer all the way into September.
I like that. Right. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think Provo's in July or August or something like that. Yeah,
Ogden is in August as well. I know that. So, but yeah, so after you go to Free Comic Book Day, you could swing up to the Layton Commons Park and come to Davis County Pride.
There you go.
Our pride is specifically geared towards keeping our kids in Davis County safe. Not that the adults don't matter, but we struggle in this county with our poor kids. So. Yeah.
Adults are there to get in the way of other adults.
Right.
That's your job. Well, okay, we got
if
two.
If I know one thing about Davis County, there's a lot of kids there. People have a lot of kids. So, yeah.
Iguana Comics and Gifts in Grants Pass, Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or Neverland Comics in Rogue River, Oregon.
Grants Pass is the place.
Oh,
like,
there you go.
That's probably the best one to go to.
Well, everybody knows how many iguanas are in comics, so that should be a good one. And gifts. That really.
I'm going to go check them out the day before.
Nervous
My
me
cousin
at
will
all.
Be down for that.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
We're,
check them out the day before. Find out, are you doing a Free Comic Book Day in the morning? Because, some guys may choose not to participate. So.
Yeah.
I don't know
you might
who
have to
would be dumb enough to do that.
Right.
I don't know. Depends on the.
Don't get me wrong. The level of dumb in the world is infinite. Therefore, there are some people that are going to be dumb enough not to do it. I don't think I've ever met one.
I have not. No, I'm not either.
I mean, fair.
But now I wanna.
Yeah.
I do. I wanna beat the knuckle dragger that I don't do Free Comic Book Day.
I'm American. I remember, when I was a kid, Arctic Circle. Before McDonald's ever even thought of a Happy Meal, Arctic Circle came out with their version of it, I think they called it the C-Box. And there was an Arctic Circle just one town over that we frequented regularly. And I remember being really excited to get my first C-Box. And I went in and I said, I want a C-Box. And they looked at me and said, we're not doing that. And the whole time they actually stopped being an Arctic Circle after a while, and they changed their name to Parker's. But I had to go to another town, Orem or something, to get a C-Box as a kid. And I was like, how do you not do something that your restaurant chain wants you to do? And as a kid, I was confused by this, and that shouldn't have been a thing, but I was confused.
Well, they charge us 11 cents per box, you see, and that's just too much for me to make a child happy.
Exactly.
Don't want to feed a goddamn child. What are you talking about? I'm a Republican. Wait to see how I evolve.
Oh.
It's all coming in the future, kid. You just don't understand.
Devolution.
The Reader's Digest told me. Because that was the conservative.
In not so many words.
Yeah, that was the secret conservative newspaper back in the day that nobody knew about was the Reader's Digest. And they got away with it because they were a story publication. They were a literary publication, I should say. And so they got away with it. And yet they had articles in there that would make Fox News go, wow, we're missing it. We're missing the ball here.
You know, when my beloved paternal grandmother passed.
Uh-huh.
I remember I was told I was going to be given all of her books.
Oh.
And I got very excited. I was very excited.
Like you do.
I was a young person. I was 14 or 15. And I was like, books? Fuck yeah, I'm getting the books. You guys can suck it. What I wanted was the car, the truck, the camper, or the little fishing boat. Anything. Mm-hmm. But I got the books. And I was happy. And then the books came out of the basement. And I swear to God, it was about 200 issues of the Reader's Digest condensed novels in hardback, faux leatherette.
Yep.
Yeah, and those went into the car to the DI and were dropped off immediately. Because I don't read abridged books.
Yep.
What am I? Religious? Yeah,
shit. It's funny that they put out all those abridged books, and yet, yeah, their magazine was just crazy shit. For me this week, work, lots of work. I had some fun yesterday. My son decided he was going to really go for record store day. So he went to our local record store, Graywell Record Shop, got there at 8 p.m. the night before and spent the night. So he was first in line.
What was the line for?
New record day.
Yeah. I saw that line. Yeah. I was like, what's going on?
Well, T Swift, as we call her. Put out a new record. She had vinyl hit. And so we had friends that also went and stood in line. Mm-hmm. And they're like, when they said that they were out of Taylor Swift albums, half the lines disappeared.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it was like 120. Because what happens with record store day is they release a certain amount of vinyl. They don't, it's not like it was when I was a kid and it was just just boxes and boxes of vinyl would get shipped because that's all we fucking had. They put out like, you know, a few thousand prints of this vinyl, which makes it a collector's item. And, it's a few thousand prints, and they take them out, and they send them out to the record stores. So the one in Taylorsville that my son went to, the Graywell my son went to, that had 120 of the Taylor Swift albums. And so what they did is they came outside just before they opened the store and said, all right, who's here for Taylor Swift album, for the Taylor Swift album? Raise your hand, or, you know, quietly, you know, quietly raise a finger or something. And then they got a wristband, and they said, if you've got this wristband, all you got to do is show the wristband. You don't even have to go to the bins, and we will hand you your album. But there's 120 of them, and once we run out of wristbands, that's it. And they went down the line. First 120 people in line wanting the Taylor Swift album, they gave them a wristband. But I know how these kind of lines work. And so it's like they probably did it and then shouted down the line, this is it, we're out of Taylor Swift albums. And maybe some people left at that point, but there were still people who were going to be showing up, because this would have been at 9 in the morning and people don't show up until like 10 or something. But yeah, Angus got to go in first before anybody did. And he came home with probably $200 worth of stuff.
I just have to know, because I've met Angus.
Yeah.
Was he in line for that Taylor Swift album?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was just checking, because not as a judgment, just as it wouldn't fit into my picture.
I would not fit the perception, no.
But, you know.
Shake it off.
Yeah.
Because the haters going to hate.
They are going to hate. Yeah. Look, exactly. I'm just saying, is T-Swift, is she something I buy? No.
Nope.
But do I recognize her as a musical genius? Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
she's fucking great. It's just not my thing. However,
I really love what she does. Yep. What she's accomplished, and her most recent thing, calling out Ticketmaster for fucking everybody. Finally, and all the other acts coming in and going, oh yeah, 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 they're fucking everybody. We were afraid to say anything, you know. It's like, but if it's Taylor Swift, they fucking listen, which is, she's basically like the Michael Jackson of now, where she can say this stuff and they have to listen because her fan base is way too big and way too ready to go to action.
Right.
But yeah, it was there was an Addicts album he was looking for. I can't remember what the other one was. Those were his two big ones. But he also picked up, they had this little box. And you guys, Jeff might remember these. Maybe Joss has a distant memory of this. But they used to sell these little record players back in our day. and they were little tiny record players, and they played little tiny discs that had one song on them. In the 90s, those became like little CDs that you could play, right?
Yeah.
But these were little record players, and they released a little record player with four Doors songs, and the record player is all marked up for the Doors. So he grabbed one of those.
How cute.
So he's got good music taste as well. He got me a couple of records. One that I asked him to grab, which was a release of the Pogues B-sides there were some I'd never heard before, some of the songs. Those got played yesterday, and then he grabbed me a picture disc of the first Violent Femmes album.
Oh, nice. So,
I don't know that one will ever get unwrapped, to be honest.
No, God, no.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever unwrap
that
one either.
No, I have been picking up vinyl little bit by little bit, very little bit by little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it I will not open, some of the vintage shit, just mm-hmm. because I don't think that I have a nice enough record player for it. And someday maybe I will. But now is not that time. Mine is, it's in a little suitcase. You know, the only thing cool about it is that it'll attach to a Bluetooth speaker.
Mm-hmm. So I got tiny little vinyl player as well.
Yeah.
And it's also super cheap, but I bought it for one vinyl that I bought, which I will eventually get more. But that one vinyl
mm-hmm.
is the, I think it was the 20th anniversary of Farscape soundtrack.
Oh,
it was an exclusive to Barnes and Noble.
Oh my mm-hmm. god.
Yeah, it's That's glorious.
Cool. That is way cool.
Is that will that push to Bluetooth?
The
Your record player?
No, it's cheaper than that. It was like $25 when I got off of Amazon.
I might try and trick you into bringing that over and firing it up on mine, and then we can record it on
Absolutely.
To
Just
digital.
Remind me next week and I'll bring it.
Okay.
I love playing it.
Yeah.
It's pretty short, so so I've listened to it a million times. Just kept flipping it over.
Fun.
Yeah. But that was fun yesterday. And then, of course, got to go to the comic store. And I saw, with my own eyeballs, not just off of a photo on Instagram, a listener wearing one of our T-shirts out in the wild.
Cody.
Yeah, he was wearing actually my favorite Left Show T-shirt, which is the one that just says woke. I just fucking love that shirt. It's so simple, so basic, and it pisses off conservatives so easily.
Oh, it does. Jesus, and immediately. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I fucking love that shirt.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a walking trigger.
So, yeah, it was. I saw him wearing that, and I was like, yes, we have someone here who is not only intelligent, but incredibly attractive because he's wearing our shirt.
Well, he is a good-looking guy. Yeah. I've seen him in other shirts.
So there you go. So that was my week. But let's dive into some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Dame Edna creator Barry Humphries has passed away in Sydney, Australia at the age of 89. Tony Award-winning comedian, internationally renowned for his garish stage persona, Dame Edna Everidge. A condescending and imperfectly veiled snob whose evolving character has delighted audience over seven decades has passed away. Complications following hip surgery. Family statement says that he was completely himself until the very end, never losing his brilliant mind, his unique wit, and his generosity of spirit. With over 70 years on stage, he was an entertainer to his core, touring up until the last year of his life and planning more shows that will sadly never be. I love Dame Edna and have since I was a little kid.
Yep. Yes.
Always funny. She was always funny.
What's interesting is that how important this individual, the Barry, and of course his creation, Dame Edna, was to all the gay men of my generation. Like, so many friends of mine who are, you know, my age or a little older were like, oh my God, this is so sad to hear that Barry Humphries died. And, it always struck me that he was so important to them. And obviously it was, you know, representation. It was, you know, making them visible, and it was important. So, yeah. And that was before we had, what's his name? Who the comedian, Eddie Izzard or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dame Edna. So,
There's another one. I don't know if he falls into the same type of category, but he's a comedian who does he does the Mrs. Brown, and they did a TV show for a little while called Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Oh yeah.
It's freaking hilarious.
Oh my God, it is so funny. I've seen some TikToks of clips of that on TikTok. Fucking hilarious. Oh my God. Yeah.
I subscribe to the British BBC streaming mm-hmm. for a little while just so I could watch that.
Oh my God. That's funny. Yeah, it's funny as hell. And it's right up there with Dame Edna. They're working class, the family, instead of Dame Edna, who was always posh. But they're very working class, but oh my God, it's fucking hilarious. Yeah.
The Foo Fighters will be releasing a new album, but here we are on June 2nd with RCA and Roswell Records. The band shared the lead single, Rescued, just this last week. If you pop over to comicbookpodcast.com and click on this article, you too can listen to the new Foo Fighters song, Rescued. Like, just pause this, go do it, and then come back. And we can all talk about how fucking awesome it is. Ready? Set? Wasn't that awesome?
That was awesome! Oh, so what we were talking about with Record Store Day, that was a big drop two years ago, was the Foo Fighters disco album that Dave did. I mean, it was the Foo Fighters, but they did it under his name. But it was a disco album, and getting that on vinyl, and it was such a limited release. They were gone like that. They were gone faster than a Taylor Swift album. That was all there was.
That is true. Yep. I imagine sure it was fast. Honestly, and the only thing I can do is keep going back to the Shake It Off, because I really don't
know about the only Taylor Swift song I know and like.
I know the one where she and all the other famous girl singers had a...
The Bad Blood?
Bad Blood.
It's kind of sexy, so I've watched it a lot.
I have seen that video several times. I don't know that I've heard it, but I've noticed that T-Swift on mute works.
Yep.
Yeah.
Watched it with the sound off a few times, but yeah.
I don't. I mean, you're from our era. You turn the volume down when something naughty comes on.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you do.
Exactly.
Sex is a whisper because it's wrong. Jonathan Majors is in more and more trouble.
We kind of
glossed over the fact that last week that his agency has dumped him, his PR mm-hmm. firm has dumped him. The only people that have not dumped him are Marvel.
And there's been a rumor that Disney has a backup plan.
Of course
for
they do.
Recasting him, yeah. Because they don't want to go goofy. Down the road of Ezra Miller.
No.
Gorsh.
I did not want
to have to start a Jonathan Majors watch.
Right. I'm so angry. Why can't we just have nice things?
But here we are. As the Foo Fighters would say. But here we are.
The problem is, even though he says he didn't do what they're saying that he done did... Mm-hmm. Is that there's other people from his past that are popping up going, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's done this before.
And they released text messages between him and his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't read well. They were not a good, I don't know why his PR team released those, because, yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
They released it on a She Had It Coming philosophy. They did.
Right.
Just put it out there. You'll see why she had it coming. No, it's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
Yep.
This is the difference between what we had with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, because it was one accuser, and everybody else who had ever dated Depp was like, well, he was a little weird, but no, he wasn't abusive. And now it's like with Majors, it's like, oh, no, he's abusive. And it's like, fuck.
It's a very intense and passionate actor. So, I haven't read mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff that has come out about him. I've just kind of heard about it. But, how he acts in my brain, that kind of doesn't surprise me. Just because it seems like he puts a lot of emotion in everything. And when people do that, they usually have a lot of emotion in their personal lives as well. So it sucks, but that's kind of sounds like how, that's how he's wired.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. Yeah.
Makes him a great actor, but not a the best person.
No, and you know, that goes around. Sure. That mm-hmm. really does go around. So one of the lines mm-hmm. from the article, when talking about those texts that you mentioned previous, is says, quote, it read like a bad Lifetime movie. They basically look like the text messages of a textbook abused woman.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. 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 I read a different article, but saw the text, and I'll agree with that statement. That yep. was, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. An Egyptian lawyer is suing Netflix for depicting Cleopatra as a black woman.
Does some random Egyptian lawyer or someone who, like, actually maybe, like, is in the industry at least?
I don't know. Let's read and find out. It's becoming more and more common for historical figures of TV or movie characters to be portrayed as a different race. Anne Boleyn, Queen of England from 1533 to 1536.
Got paid by the word, did you?
Yeah. Oh, she was flighty. Lost her head. Anyway, she was recently played by a black actress in a British miniseries called Anne Boleyn. The iconic Disney princess Ariel from The Little Mermaid has been recast with a black actress, Halle Bailey. many people have reasonable questions about why historical figures are suddenly having their past rewritten entirely. Especially Cleopatra. I don't think that's reasonable. It's just, it is what it is. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the queen of problematic, of Ptolemaic kingdom of Egypt.
Nah, that's funny.
That's a good one.
Is a little bit. Is a little bit. From 51 to 30 BC. Anyway, on May 10th, Netflix will be releasing a docuseries called Queen Cleopatra about Cleopatra and her legacy, including reenactments and interviews with experts. Series is executively blah, 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 blah. Jada Pinkett Smith, who stars mm-hmm. as a black woman who plays the role of Cleopatra. I don't think this is a race thing. I think this is egotisticalism.
It might be a money thing. I wonder if he's like, they are like, I don't know who it is.
Mahmoud Al-Samari, an Egyptian lawyer, has filed a lawsuit with a public prosecutor because of Netflix distortion of history, because Cleopatra was a member of the Ptolemaic dynasty, which was mainly that of Macedonian Greek ancestry. Her heritage is said to also come partly from the Persians. Al-Samari doesn't appreciate her history being erased for the benefit of a streaming service. Grow the fuck up, dude. Come on.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're... It's not like they're changing her history, and they'll probably even say she was Macedonian, and there's indication that she may have Persian roots as well. Just Jada Pinkett Smith is just going to be playing her in the little dramatic moments they portray, you know, and that's fine. She's producing it. She's going to play the part.
Yep. Adele James is her name. Announced on her Twitter that she will no longer tolerate any comments or criticism about the fact that a black woman is playing the role of Cleopatra. Quote, you will be blocked without hesitation. If you don't like the casting, don't watch the show. Or do and engage in expert opinion different to yours. Either way, I'm gassed and will continue to be. Good for her.
Okay.
Good for her.
Yeah. Sure.
No, I don't. Yeah, this one, it doesn't surprise me. This is very Hollywood to, you know, to do that, but at the same time, it's like, just let it be, dude. It's okay.
I just...
we didn't get an Egyptian actress to play the part? Is that the problem? I mean,
I don't think so. I think it's racial.
Yeah. Right. This is the first time I've heard of this movie on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I have to wonder, like, I think this is, he's just giving them.
I don't think it's a movie. I think it's one of those goddamn weird ass documentary dramas they do.
Oh yeah.
Where yes. It's, you know, you've got British voice guy going, you know, and then the Egyptians crossed the Nile and this and that and played with crocodiles and this, that, the other, and kitty cats, and then all of a sudden boom, it breaks into just some sort of goddamn dramatization of something we know nothing about.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, oh, Cleopatra.
I was looking at one of them and it was like suggested for you, and there's like 10 of them now. Of those drama situations.
Docudramas.
For what it's worth, they're better than those fucking what am I thinking about? Oh, the other documentaries that they do.
Mockumentaries?
Yeah, no, not the mockumentaries. It's more
biopics.
What's that?
Biopics?
Sorta, yeah. They do the docudramas, and then they have the ones that are like drain the ocean. And it's like, oh, this is really fucking boring, is what it is. It's just really boring. They're like, we'll take all the water out, and then you can see what's at the bottom of the water. Mud. It's mud.
Whole lot of mud.
A whole lot of mud. Hey, guess what?
What?
That's it for the news.
Oh, okay.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and
sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
There's nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are now controlling the transmission. We control the horizontal and the vertical. We can deluge you with 1,000 channels or expand one single image to crystal clarity and beyond. Please stand by.
So, what have we been watching on TV this last week? Start with Pat.
I watched Cobra Kai. I had watched the first season, and now I have decided to watch it some more. And I'm just finding that it is fun. I did not watch The Karate Kids. I need to watch The Karate Kids. I want to watch The Karate Kids.
Just the first one.
Just the first
one. The second one, if you have to, if you're like, ooh, that Ralph Macchio really triggers my interest. Then you gotta watch the second one. But the third and fourth are trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a fourth?
Yeah. And it doesn't even have Daniel LaRusso in it.
Oh.
I think wasn't the fourth one Hilary Swank?
The fourth one's Hilary Swank. Daniel LaRusso does show up, like, for a cameo.
Weird.
But,
hey, yo, I'm selling used cars here.
Yeah. The third one was, that was bad. That was
really, and then there's
bad.
The Will Smith's kid did one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that one should have been called the Kung Fu Kid, because it was Jackie Chan and Will Smith's kid.
That's Jayden. A good movie.
Yeah, because Miyagi was already dead.
Yeah. So anyway, I watched I actually liked that one a lot. That Karate Kid. Although that one was rough because he was a lot younger than Ralph Macchio. In taking the role, and when he looked like he was hurt, he could sell being hurt really well. So you felt like, oh my god, I'm watching like serious child abuse here. This is really freaking me out.
I'm pretty sure his mom beats him.
Yep.
What?
We didn't say anything about. Don't say anything about. Keep your
keep
wife
name out keep of my motherfucking mouth.
Your damn mouth.
Right. Anything else you watched this week?
Various things, but it's the same stuff. Sailor Moon, Star Trek.
That's fair. Yeah.
Fair.
I didn't have time to process much stuff just because I've been so busy, so.
That's fair.
Nothing important. I mean, it's all important. It's Sailor Moon. It's always important. But I don't need
to. What about you, Jess?
I didn't watch a lot. I did get to go to, besides my four viewings of The Addams Family Jr., keep that in mind. I did get to go to Pioneer Theater and saw What the Constitution Means to Me. I don't always talk about the plays that I see, usually because I see them like as they're closing. But this one, number one, was fucking awesome. And very much like women's right, very much involved in a women's rights, civil rights conversation. But the original play was recorded and is available to watch on Amazon. So if you, I mean, it was really well done. And so I haven't watched the show on Amazon, but the play itself was great.
Okay.
I am working on catching up on The Mandalorian. So I've watched episodes 3 and 4. So I'm still really far behind, but it's been really, really good, as everybody else knows, because you all are up to date on it. And then my partner decided to put on Schmigadoon. Have you guys seen Schmigadoon?
I've seen season one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're watching season one of Schmigadoon, apparently, and it's very musical-y.
Yes.
It is. It is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun.
It is very funny and quite enjoyable and very musical-y. Mm-hmm. So what about you guys?
Well, I watched a lot of news.
Yeah.
It was a big week for news. We'll talk about that yesterday on the Left Show. Mm-hmm. Since it won't really get a reaction from anybody but me, Ted Lasso.
Oh, I'm so sad I'm behind on Ted Lasso.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a really good episode. It's been sort of a weird evolution for everybody this season. It's a little more serious than seasons 1 and 2, but it's still got a lot of emotional depth. And I'm still enjoying every episode. So, in this one, Ted Lasso does mushrooms.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, it's fucking wonderful. You're going to love it.
That's going to be awesome.
The Mandalorian ended its run, for this season mm-hmm. 3. And, not a helmet came off him, off Din Djarin.
Yep.
Did not take his helmet off at all this season.
Well, he learned his lesson.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Right.
And to fix that problem, he nearly drowned.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right.
Not taking this damn helmet off. And then, of course, the season/series finale of Picard.
Oh, my God.
Really quite good.
Yes.
Really quite good. Even if it did feature the Ford Taurus of Starfleet.
Still beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the coming weeks, we'll have some things to talk about. But for the most part, you know, I am pleased with how both of the shows, both Mandalorian and Picard, ended. All I can say is I wanted more of that and less of not that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. What did you watch, buddy?
So we had Titans on HBO Max, which this was a all Beast Boy episode, which finally we've gotten a Beast Boy episode. We haven't had one since season one, and that was just sort of him joining the team, and it really wasn't much of an episode. This one, he meets up with or he's interacting with Freedom Beast, which is a Grant Morrison creation, winds up in the Red and visits other multiverses, including gets to have an interaction with Stargirl, which I thought was fun to see Bessinger again. He has a moment where this bald man has his back to him, and then he turns around and it's Grant fucking Morrison, and he says, "I can see you, can you see me?" And it was just like this great little moment, because Grant Morrison created Freedom Beast and created the Red, created all this other stuff around, because that was all Animal Man, and they're basically putting all this Animal Man stuff in for Beast Boy, and it was wonderful. But yeah, it was good. And there was this moment you finally got to see the moment in their CGI, which they have not done. Usually, whenever we see Beast Boy fighting in the background when the Titans are fighting, it's just the actor just beating up people. He rarely turns into an animal. In this one, he turned into a gorilla. Then all of a sudden he jumped to a bird. Then he jumped to a tiger. And I'm like, this is what I've been waiting to see in Titans, is this bit of special effect. Why the fuck aren't you doing it? You have the budget. Just do it. they haven't done it until this one episode. And I'm like, I'll probably never see it again.
Treasure it, because it's the only time you get it, friend.
Treasuring it. Schmigadoon, episode, I don't, what are we on? Episode 3 now of Schmigcago. Oh my God. Fucking hilarious. We got to get everybody, make every, but we got to find a way to make everybody happy, because they're trying to figure out their way out of this universe, out of this world. And it's just, it's hilarious. Rise of the Pink Ladies. I felt like it was a little bit of a letdown. I mean, everything was inevitable where it was supposed to hit after the last episode, but the last episode ended on a big up. And this one was kind of not only was it, you know, Pride Goeth Before the Fall was the lesson, I think, but at the same time, it was a downer. You know, I didn't care for it as much. The Mandalorian. All I will say about this one, to avoid spoilers, is the way it ended, I thoroughly expect next season to start with a new chapter, with chapter one again.
Oh.
Like the way it was, like, we could close the book on this particular, because this was chapter 25, I think, if I remember right.
I think so.
I think we could close the book here, and you could open a new book in chapter one. And you could even move it forward. I was like, why don't you move it forward like 10 years? And so Grogu could be a little older and that kind of stuff. That would be interesting. But I'm not Jon Favreau or working for Disney, so I don't know if I get any influence there. Picard. Oh, my God. From the opening voiceover that I won't spoil to the final closing credit, the post-credit sequence that I won't spoil, I fucking loved every minute of this episode. There were problems. There were things I was like, as I would read reviews or watch reviews, it was like, yeah, I can agree with you on that one. That was a little too easy to do when it shouldn't have been that easy. But again, at the same time, I'm like, but we can't spend 20 minutes with them figuring out this part when we got to move the plot forward. Plus, this fucker had Lord of the Rings, Return of the King endings. It had at least 5 endings. And the last one... And I swear to God, the last one was Samwise Ganges returning to the Shire. I mean, that was really what it felt like. I'm like, I'm waiting for Samwise to return to the Shire. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Loved the endings. And the nice thing is that all the endings were earned. So just wonderful little moments. I'll say one about one ending that's not really a big deal. As they leave the Enterprise D for the last time, and you hear Majel Barrett's voice one more time, which they've gotten. I mean, they've got what? How many hours of Majel Barrett's voice? Because she was the voice of the Enterprise.
Oh no, she did. She did the alphabet and most of the dictionary for them, so that they could continue to use her as a computer after she died.
Yeah, and so they put together. They used her voice, and you get to hear Frakes as Riker, but I also heard it from Frakes say as they exit, I really miss that voice. And I'm like, that was for Rod Roddenberry, who's now the executive producer of it all. That was for him to say, we miss your mom. I liked that. But yeah, the whole episode was fantastic. One thing I was going to talk about, we were talking about, I think this, pre-show with lighting, last week's episode of The Ready Room with Will Wheaton, he got to visit the set of the rebuilt Enterprise D bridge. And he went there with Michael Okuda, who was the designer on the original Star Trek The Next Generation and designer for this one. And one of the things they were talking about was how they lit the set and how it was different now. Because back then, they had either regular bulbs, fluorescents, or... what signs were made with? I can't remember.
Neon.
And it just depended upon how deep the thing was. Like, you couldn't give, like, the back console where Worf had his communications and weapons array, you didn't have, that couldn't be lit. They couldn't get fluorescence in there. They just couldn't get tubes that small back in the 90s. So they lit it with neon. And when they rebuilt this, of course, they can now light it with LED. So they put an extra bit of yellow underneath it to give it a neon glow. You really never see these panels except kind of just off in the corner of your screen. But to add that level of detail, because that was what they had back then, was really kind of a cool thing to me. I'm like, well done, guys. That was fun. So yeah, the Ready Room, that was... The thing is I wound up watching the Ready Room twice this week because they took 3 days to release the Ready Room for last week's episode and then another 3 days to release the Ready Room for this week's episode. So, yeah, I've watched the Ready Room twice. The final Ready Room, he talks with Terry Metalis, who is the showrunner for Picard Season 3. And then he spoke with and also had Jeri Ryan, who Terry Metalis, if you don't know this, was a writer on Voyager. He actually came on as an intern. And so he and Jeri have been friends since Voyager. So, yeah, the two of them talking together and everything. And then what happens with Seven of Nine and Picard that I won't spoil, that was significant to have her on that episode of The Ready Room. And then, just because I was feeling Star Trek-y, I flipped over to the Star Trek channel on Pluto. And I'm caught the tail end of an episode. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll watch whatever the next episode is. And it's Picard Season 2, Episode 1. So they're throwing Picard on there on the Star Trek channel.
Good for them.
Yeah. So
weird. I liked Season 2.
I liked Season 2 a lot.
Like Season 1 and Season 2 were good, and I enjoyed them. And Season 3, mm-hmm. it's just a different show. That's all.
Yeah. You could almost... Some have said, oh, so you're ignoring Season 1 and Season 2. I'm like, well, no, because we have Raffi, and we have a relationship between Seven and Picard, which we didn't have without Season 1. So, yeah.
The only thing I have with, like, Season 1 and 2 is I struggle with Raffi, because she reminds me of my aunt, and I love my aunt dearly, mm-hmm. but the up and down emotions,
yeah.
like... I have a tough time with. I'm just like, oh.
You know what? You're going to like her better in Season 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to like Season 3 because it starts with you feel like she slid back to where she was in Season 1. Mm-hmm. And then something's revealed and you're like, oh. And the final, her final denouement, I would say, not the final, but the close of her story, there's vindication.
Yeah.
So I'll say that. There's vindication for Raffi. So it was really cool because I'm like, after Season 1, Raffi should have been forgiven of all sins because it turned out she was right the whole fucking time. But yeah, it's brilliant. It was brilliant performances all around. The closing credit sequence or the post-credit sequence leaves room for a sequel series, which Paramount. I know you're listening, Paramount Plus. I would like to see that series happen, please. And thank you. I beg you. Because not only would you... The fans have all identified it as calling it Star Trek Legacy, which makes sense. You can't call it the next generation. That's a dumb name. So Star Trek Legacy, because it involves the children of the next-gen crew... But also, you could have the children of other crews as well. That would be interesting. So, yeah, I'd like to see some of that. Plus, you could bring back actors from the other three series and have them appear, have guest appearances. So that'd be fun.
Jocelyn's showing off.
Sarek?
I know.
I'm sorry.
My God, did you not eat?
It's not that. It's not only three tacos. Three tacos.
There's only two.
It's in a very custom taco holder.
Yes.
They're my taco truck taco holders, you guys.
They're brilliant.
That's what I know. You're showing I can't
off. Help it. I don't know. I don't know what I'm more jealous of, the tacos or the holder.
All I'm going to say. They're street tacos. They're amazing.
There you go.
I want a Blackstone. Can I come over?
Yeah, let's head up.
Sure. Come on up. I'll buy the meat. I'm sure he'll cook it up. So,
you guys want to do Sunday dinner tonight?
I can't. I have shit to do tomorrow that I've got to get done tonight. I'm just saying.
So that was what I watched. So let's dive into some news.
News it is. Netflix.
Before my stomach growls from the tacos.
It's that she holds them so perfectly in frame as she eats them.
I know.
Her go.
I'm going to eat my tacos over here in the corner now.
I'll be back.
Yeah, Jocelyn, stuff your face in that
taco.
I'm trying
to mute myself so you don't hear me crunching. Oh.
The delicious crunch of a black stoned taco.
Yes.
Netflix will be ending its DVD by mail service. You may have known it as DVD.com.
I didn't know it at all.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was.
I knew they had DVDs originally, because that's what my sister and her husband used to do. They would get these DVDs sent to them. I thought they got rid of it years ago.
They splintered it off into a sub-company called DVD.com. It was, for about a minute and a half, going to be called Quickster. And the world made fun of it, and they went, okay. The reason I knew they were still doing DVDs is because there was a representative... Look, I can imagine you eating a taco, Jocelyn. Don't. I'm going to let that go. But anyway, this lady won. I believe she was up in rural Oregon. She won a seat as a lefty in a congressional district that voted 70% plus for Trump. And she was just talking about how what the certain hurdles are that you have in you know, rural America, rural Oregon, whatever, that she gets her slow ass internet on a satellite because they don't have broadband out to her farm yet, and that she still gets her DVDs from Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And this news pops up and I'm like, well, not anymore. Sorry, buddy.
Yep.
But yeah, billions of actual DVDs. I wonder what they're going to do with them. Maybe they'll take them over to the landfill where the Funko Pops got dumped last month.
Weren't they thinking about bringing Blockbuster back?
We don't know yet. It's all a big mystery.
Mm.
Maybe they could sell them to Blockbuster, because I was going to say they could sell them to Redbox, but Blockbuster, that'd be funnier to sell them to Blockbuster.
It really would. You guys want your inventory back? No? What?
No.
South Park Showdown 2.0, Paramount Global strikes back at Warner Brothers Discovery in a $50 million countersuit over the streaming rights of South Park. Jab back at the David Zalavs-run company, $200 million lawsuit over streaming rights to the long-running cartoon satire created by Trey and Matt. The Redstone-run conglomerate just filed a $50 million-plus countersuit. Through this counterclaim, I quote, South Park Studios seeks to recover all of the unpaid license fees, totaling more than $52 million to date, based upon Warner Media's blatant breaches of the term sheet. In addition, based on Warner Media's material breaches of contract and its indications that it will continue to withhold the $225+ million in license fees still owed for the rest of the 5-year term, South Park Studios is entitled to a declaratory judgment confirming the party's rights and obligations under the term sheet. All I'm saying is there's a reason for those of you, friends of mine that are listening in Colorado or that used to live there, that they can afford to buy Casa Bonita, gut it, and reopen it. Mm-hmm. Because everybody needs Aztec cliff divers while they're having a taco. Right, Jocelyn?
That would make my tacos even better!
Sploosh.
I've been thinking about this article since I read it, and it's like, so Warner bought, you know, Warner wanted the rights to distribute or to stream South Park episodes on HBO Max, which was a big get for them, because South Park is pretty much owned exclusively by Viacom, which is Paramount Plus, and they got the rights, but then they don't fucking pay their royalty fees. It's like, that's part of what you do when you license rights, you fuckwits.
We're and changing our name. We're busy.
It just sounds like It just sounds like Warner Discovery, you know, the purchase of Discovery by, you know, or purchase of Warner by Zelezny and Discovery is basically, you know, Zelezny runs his business like Donald Trump. He doesn't pay his people when he's done with it.
Yep.
He waits for them to sue, and then he just basically says, you'll never see your money. Yeah.
Yep. Real-life exorcists are furious about Russell Crowe's swashbuckling new exorcist movie. The Pope's Exorcist is a swashbuckling tale of a heroic Italian priest lured into battle with an ancient demon who has possessed an innocent child in a Spanish abbey. Yeah, that's about it. That's all I get.
I get it. I totally get it. I read through the article and I totally get it because it's like the exorcisms were a thing in like the 18th century, the 17th and 18th centuries.
And the 80s.
And the Catholic Church tried to divorce themselves from the whole thing. They're like, you know, they wanted to almost say there's no such thing as demonic possession.
But it's ironic as we are against the divorce.
Yeah.
I give you Anne Boleyn.
They wanted to get away from it all. And all of a sudden, in 1972, they put out The Exorcist. And all of a sudden, they're getting called for all of these exorcisms again in the 70s. And people fully believing they've been possessed by demons, none of which was factual. And the Catholic Church
burns are full of the devil.
Exactly. and it just basically pushes them back to the dark, to medieval times again, and almost to the Dark Ages again, the Catholic Church. And they wanted to they've wanted to modernize their look as much as any religion has, more so than any other religion, because they are the oldest fucking religion, apart from Judaism. And here they show up with, you know, and now here's Russell Crowe doing one. And it's like, yeah, we're not happy with this. We're kind of tired.
Every time I think I'm away from the exorcisms, they're dragging me back in.
They pull me back in.
Princess Peach is saving me. Paramount Plus reportedly developing a Galaxy Quest series.
Yeah.
My query as to this series is... is it going to be the show Galaxy Quest, or is it going to be the show about the actors in Galaxy Quest going to space again?
That is the question.
Ooh, that's what I'd like to know. That is a good question. I don't know.
Because in paragraph 3, and I quote, there are no details on how the new show will tie into the 1999 movie. And their question about if any of the original stars will be involved, well, not Alec Rickman.
Yeah, not Alan Rickman.
Not Alan Rickman.
Just saying.
No.
You know,
I imagine what's his name will be an executive producer on it and probably get a few guest appearances.
Tim Allen,
because what the hell, you know, what's he going to do apart from be a rampant conservative?
Hey, don't catch me because I'm conservative and pretty much, you know, pretend that the people who do my makeup aren't queer.
Exactly.
Because I'm against it. I'm against it. I'm Tim Allen. Oh. I'm so sorry. I apologize. Star Trek Section 31 will not be a series.
Sad.
It's going to be a movie.
It's going to be a movie.
Okay.
Starring Oscar winner Michelle Yeoh. Because once you win an Oscar, you can't afford them for Ricky Dink television bullshit. Unless they totally throw their career out the window, which she has not done.
No, she has not done that. And there was a minor wrench thrown in the works. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for this. American-born Chinese on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Is a new series that Michelle Yeoh will be featured in. So she probably had a shooting schedule problem. Where it's like,
that could have been.
I'm getting demands now because I'm an Academy Award-winning actress. And I've got this Disney show I've already committed to. You guys have taken fucking forever to get around to doing Section 31. I can't do it. And so they said, well, what about a movie? They made a movie. And maybe they'll make a lot of movies. I'd enjoy that.
That's it for the news. Oh, wait. I forgot. Huge news. Are you ready?
Yes.
Ready. I'm sorry, everyone, for the tragic announcement I am about to make.
Uh-oh.
But we can't look at a tragedy, a national tragedy, without thinking to ourselves, there, but, you know, by the grace of God, go I.
Mm.
National Treasure has been canceled by Disney Plus after one season. Now, that's it for the news.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah! Let's get some comic book news.
Tales of the Titans announced by DC. Teen Titans are about to be back in the spotlight at DC on Wednesday. Publisher announced the first details surrounding Tales of the Titans, a new series, standalone spotlight issues that'll highlight some of the team's members. Tales of the Titans carries on the tradition of the 80s Tales of the New Teen Titans series, with new issues spotlighting Starfire, Raven, Donna Troy, and Beast Boy. The new series will launch just months after the debut of the new Titans ongoing from Tom Taylor and Nicholas Scott.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. Yep. I'm so excited.
Yep. Gene Simmons is returning to comics with a reimagining of Dominatrix.
Oh, my.
Maybe they could draw her as a realistic human person.
I know, that would be nice. I was just thinking, why don't I like that?
Because it's...
Where is the ponytail coming out of?
Right there.
Where her hand is?
No, it's right. It's
is
see
it
what
under
you're
or is it over?
You're right. That is incorrect. This joint right here is all fucked up.
Wow.
Yep. You know?
She's like holding the whip over her shoulder, so she has to be like holding it like this.
Yeah, I can bend. I can't bend like that. The boobs are spectacular.
Yeah, but
they're fake.
I could draw boobs when I was 5'2".
I'm looking for a pencil and something to draw with. Draw me some boobs. I don't. Hey, you're gonna make a claim like that. Let's see. That's boring. Marvel announces Captain America number 750. That's more than 700. Less
it
than
is.
800. That's a lot of comics.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yep, giant-sized Captain America 750 crossover between Captain America Sentinel and Captain America Symbol will have lasting ramifications for the Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson as the duo goes up against White Wolf and former ally Bucky Barnes. What, is Bucky Barnes anti-trans now? What the fuck?
Yeah.
I was making a play on the word ally there for you is what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Don't take me seriously today, right now.
Okay.
Anyway, big deal. Big deal that 750. Mm-hmm. Marvel is shutting down. You know what? I'll take it. Hang on.
Those are yes. Those good are, job. Good
those
job.
Are,
Pat.
Those are better boobs.
Those are nice. There are some nice boobs.
Nice boobs. If you don't think I'm hanging that.
You better sign that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Put your signature on that. PatDrawsBoobs.com. Months after Amazon's bungled rebranding of Comixology, one of the brand's most popular apps is shutting down. Wednesday, Marvel announced that its digital comic app, the one run by Comixology, will be shutting down in June. Mm-hmm. Instead of users being able to buy new releases every new comic book day, readers will be left without a solution. I have a solution. Perfect. I have a solution. Go to a comic book shop, you fucking wankers. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I was confused by this because I got sent the email because I had purchased from them before, but then I couldn't figure out how to find it.
Right. That was the other problem. Is getting to that Marvel app was a pain in the ass. And yeah, so no, there's nothing right now, but we do know that you could Comixology will still exist through Amazon, so that's probably how you're going to get Marvel comics through that new Marvel comics, unless Amazon won't cut a deal with them. And then there's two new comic book apps coming out that may, if they get Marvel, that's it. They win, you know?
Yeah. So does Marvel not want to do Marvel Unlimited anymore? Or oh, no, is it just
they'll
multiple?
Continue Marvel Unlimited. It's just Marvel Unlimited was never new releases. It was always legacy stuff.
Okay.
6 months older or older.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. That's it for the news.
Well, what have you guys been reading this week? Let's start with Pat.
I read books this time.
Woo!
I read... So one of the reasons I got into comic books was books like Witchblade and Fathom, which were done at the beginning by Michael Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely obsessed, and still to this day obsessed with his artwork. Obviously, we're not getting anything new because he passed away in 2008.
That's a good excuse.
Yeah. I mean, we get really new stuff, but we don't get new stuff from him. Although, it was funny. I was talking to Kylie at the Nerd Store one time, and I was like, they have these covers for when they did Rebirth. They had, like, special Michael Turner covers. And his analogy was, he says, yeah, he's like the Tupac of comics. New stuff just keeps coming out, even though he's dead. And I'm like, oh, cool. So, like, there's new art,
I
like,
can see that. Yeah,
cover
I can see
that. And stuff that will come out, or stuff that has been done and it's just been redone, which is really cool. So they do release some stuff under the same, because they're their own publisher. But I've been trying to get through the Aspen comics for a lot of years, and they're just a little bit hard because
they are sometimes very difficult.
Yeah, and some of them are very wordy, but I love the art, so I put in the effort. So I read one, I actually picked it up at Jeff's store because it was in the discount, and I'm trying not
Would
to buy.
Would that be Dr. Volt's Comic Connection?
Dr. Volt's Comic Connection. It was in the discount bin, and it was a trade, so I justified it to myself since I am trying not to get short boxes in my house again.
Good luck.
I read the first issue of that one. It's good. It follows the story. I really enjoy Fathom Comics. It starts to explore Keani. I don't know if I say it right. Keani, or however you say her name.
Keani.
Her parentage. Mm-hmm. Parentage and some of the politics in the underwater world. Mm-hmm. So it's good. I like it. All it's right. pretty. I also read the first issue. More importantly, I read the first issue of The Last Ronin, TMNT. The Last Ronin.
The Lost Years.
Not the new one.
Oh, the old one.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. That one's
like
very
good. Like
the
whole good. Trade is out? Yeah. So I don't read. I haven't read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics before. So this is my first one, and this is like the dark and the gritty and the psychological stuff that like really is getting me into it. I'm like, I always had a hard time, like anthropomorphic turtles. I don't have an issue with them.
Cowabunga, dude.
They're just, they're just not, I'm into TNA. I'm not into turtles. I love turtles, really, but like human turtles, I don't know.
TNA, turtles and... ass
turtles and ass.
Okay,
maybe there was more little more turtles and ass.
I like turtles
in the turtles books. Ass. I would read them, but yeah. But so
I think the problem is that they got made into a cartoon and then a bunch of movies that gave everybody a specific impression of what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were like.
Apart from
some comics code level writing. The original run of the series by Eastman and Laird was fairly gritty and dark.
Well, and that's the thing that I discovered when Eastman came was he's not the cartoon at all. That is not his personality.
No. so that was not the original series in any way, but you know, they had the opportunity to make a lot of money and they went for it.
Yeah. Which is good. I mean, worked out for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I would sell any of you.
I mean, fair.
It's good though. It's very good.
Yeah.
It's got some like.
We did. I same story. Is never been a Turtles guy. Mm-hmm. When I was a youth, mm-hmm. And the world was in black and white. We no. And I mean this specifically. It was basically a choice between Turtles and the Tick. Both of which were done with no color. They were both black and white comics. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I was a Tick guy. I was absolutely a Tick guy. The Night of a Billion Million Ninjas was one of my favorite things ever. And so the first Turtle book I picked up since the early 90s was the first issue of Last Ronin. And I was like, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And then read the rest of the series and just thought it was amazing.
Yeah. So I started that. I'm going to finish it because I started it this morning and I was like, oh, I gotta go to podcast now. It was one of those that I actually had to force myself to put down, so that was good.
Nice.
And then I read the first issue of Silver, which is it's based out of the Bram Stoker universe. I didn't get far enough into the story to know what's going on entirely, but this guy, he is a con man. He's got the ultimate last con that he's going to pull the blinds over. I don't know what the analogy is, over the detective's eyes and really get him. And so he's like trying to get out of this place after stealing these things, and I'm excited because there's going to be vampires sooner or later, and I'm just waiting for them.
It's true.
It's fair.
Those are what I read. I actually read books. I'm very proud of myself.
Yay!
I'm also very proud of you, Pat.
Thanks.
How about you, Jess?
I dug into my pile of never-ending comics that I am behind on reading, and I read Pulp Bites, number one. This one, I am a huge fan of short stories. Always have been. So when you take a comic book, and in that one comic book, I get two short stories that are creepy as all get out, I was thrilled. I just was like, I like giggled a little bit. It just made me so happy. So I'm really excited. I mean, there's no overarching storyline here. I'm not going to, I'm not going to tell you it's going to be a great read, but if you want something a little bit creepy, that's easy to read and fast, cause it's just two little short stories, pick it up. Cause it was really good. I read Black Cloak number 3. I may be only one issue behind. I think number 4 has come out, but again, I love Kelly Thompson so much, you guys. I just do. Really digging the story. There's corruption, there's intrigue, there's fighting against the powers that be, and mermaids. And so how can you go wrong? Right? Mm-hmm. Right. We'll see what happens with those mermaids, though. And then I'm not quite caught up, but I worked really hard to catch up on Captain Marvel. So I have read, 44, 45, and 46, Fighting the Brood with some X-Men help. I'm starting to think that I probably should have been paying better attention and picking up some X-Men comics as well. No? Okay, good. Whew. JC's shaking his head for me, so.
Don't read that trash.
but so far, we're fighting the Brood, and we split up. We're looking for Binary and Rogue, and are they all going to make it out alive? Who knows? Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. Well, I bet the next issue will tell me, but it's still up in my box of unread comics. So,
To understand all that stuff with the Brood and the X-Men and Binary, you'd have to grab a Marvel Comics Unlimited subscription and go back and read.
Oh yeah,
read the Chris Claremont era, because that's what Kelly is referencing, because she's old like me and remembers that era fondly. Yeah,
but there was an advert in number 46 that was talking about, don't forget to pick up Captain Marvel 47 and X-Men number 20, and I was like, damn it. So,
yeah, enjoy 47.
I'm just going to enjoy 47 because that sounds better. Yeah. So, what about you, Jeff? Did you get anything read this week?
Yeah, I did pick up Dr. Atomic, the Pipe and Dope book, because, professional curiosity and all with my other job. It was interesting more than anything else. It was pretty cool. So I've ordered some more copies because we only got a couple in and nobody seemed to buy it. And now I'm going to force people to buy it. I'm going to make you buy it, because it's fucking hilarious.
Okay.
And it's kind of a, isn't it a reprint of some of the old?
It's a reboot stuff? Almost, like like they've modernized it from the '70s.
Mm-hmm.
So it does. It teaches you how to make a pipe. It takes you how to build a greenhouse. It tells you how to do home grow. Tells you how to make hashish and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty nifty.
Look for that on Free Comic Books Day at Dr. Volt's.
Because it was damaged, it was sitting there, and my phone was somewhere else. I read The Mighty Barbarians, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the writer of Barbaric. And it is a hack and slashy, fun D&D good time. So if you haven't picked it up, Michael Morrissey actually does a really good job with this. So mm-hmm. Morrissey.
Something.
Yeah. What about you, sir?
So let's see. We start out with a comic book got put in my hold by my friendly neighborhood comic book retailer. I know I didn't order it, but I'm glad it got put in there. It's called The Great British Bump Off, which takes place at a British reality show called Baking Tent. And somebody gets murdered, and one of the contestants decides that they need to go ahead with the competition, and she's going to solve the mystery, because the bump off takes place before the competition starts. It's fucking hilarious. And the idea that the comedian hosts, there's the host, the hostess comes out, who's a comedian hostess. She's like, I was supposed to meet my new host. All of a sudden, a black kitty cat pops out of a bun and starts meowing at her. She goes, oh, you're my new host. The cat only meows, and yet people understand what it's asking, which is fucking hilarious. And I think that's a reference to Noel on The Great British Bake Off, which is funny as hell to me. We had Know Your Station, number 5. Also, great thanks to my friendly neighborhood comic book retailer, who made sure I got every issue of this when issue 1 was a weird thing that didn't happen, or they only got like one issue and they wound up backordering everything. This is the final issue 5. This is a really kind of, well, I wouldn't say eat the rich, but it's basically that in that flavor, in that genre of saying, yeah, this is a beautifully done book. The ending, the resolution of the mystery is awesome. And I love it. Just fucking love it. We have a new, well, we have a, so James Bond 007, for King and Country, is just continuing the story of the last 007 group of books. I mean, it literally picks up where the last one left off. And yet they renumbered it as number one, which should be nothing but frustrating for comic book retailers. This is just continuing the story, which puts Bond in a really difficult situation. And I'm enjoying the hell out of it. It just makes me happy that's... It's like, just make it hard for Bond, and you give me good Bond stories that way. Let Bond figure his way out of this one, kind of thing. That's fun. And then finally, She-Hulk number 12, issue 175, legacy numbering. So we get more of the story from the previous issue, but it's kind of cut a little short, which is okay. And then we get another story by Rainbow Rowell, a much longer one. Which is Jen decides to start a book club with all of her friends who are all superheroes. So first, she's got like a nice little, she's made up a nice little charcuterie board, and she's got some onion dip. That's so good. Onion dip is the brand name. And so she's just kind of a little modest little setup, you know, just a charcuterie board and some dip, some cheese. Then Jen comes in with all of these waiters carrying all this food. And she's like, I brought the snacks. And Jen's like, I had the snacks. And Jen, the wasp, says, well, no, I have to bring the snacks. I'm Vito. And she says, Vito? Yeah, I'm a vegan. It's vegan and keto. I eat mostly meat, but only animals that are guaranteed, they're certified vegan.
Certified vegan animals.
Yes. Now, you'd think that wouldn't be a problem until we get reminded of something when Patsy comes in. Patsy Walker, Hellcat, comes in. She says, you know, she says, Jan, I brought some wine. And Jan says, oh, I don't do any wine anymore. I'm Vito. To which Patsy says, ugh, I could never be Vito. I can't give up sea bass.
Okay.
Okay. This is, I've done this before as a writer. This is, you have a joke in mind, which is that. You've got to walk the audience there. You've got to walk the reader there, which had to start with the Vito line about the vegan animals. You're like, okay, that's weird. But then you get that joke, which was fucking hilarious. The sea bass. Sue Richards shows up with both her kids in tow because the only way she can enforce them being grounded is if they're she's with them. Because if they're not, you know, Reed is his head is in some fucking experiment. Johnny and Ben are going to let them do whatever they want. So they won't get to be enforced in their grounding. So Sue has to bring them with her, and she makes them go sit in a corner. To which Jen's like, "Well, they don't have to sit in a corner." She goes, "No, they do. It's been that kind of day." So that was fucking awesome. You get Misty Knight and Colleen Wing showing up, and then Volcana, which everybody's like, "Oh my God, Volcana! We got to fight because she's a supervillain." And Jen's like, "No, no, no, no. She's fine. She doesn't have any outstanding warrants, and she's actually quite the bookworm." So they start the book club. And it's just the delightful little thing until finally Jan is kind of overstepping her bounds a little much. If you remember from She-Hulk number one, the apartment Jen is living in is owned by Jan, and she's just letting her live there for free. And finally, Jan follows her into the kitchen to find out what's wrong. And she said, it's just that I wanted to do this. This is my first chance to be, you know, be a grown up and host my own party. And you're just continually reminding me that I am just I'm just couch surfing in your apartment. Mm-hmm. And Jen said, no, 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 you don't get it, Jen. I see you. I know what you gave up to be an Avenger and to work with the Fantastic Four. You would be the new Supreme Court justice right now if you had been selfish and just stayed doing what you do. But you have given up so much for us. I'm trying to give back to you. In fact, this isn't my apartment anymore. It's yours.
Aww.
I'm giving you this apartment. So, yeah, she gave her the apartment because she sees that Jen, I mean, and then sure enough, there's a knock at the door as they're trying to finish up, as they're trying to talk about the book. And it's Captain America saying, She-Hulk, we have an emergency. And every other hero's like, we'll help. And they run off. And the book gets tossed in the air and it lands in Cap's hands. He goes, oh, this is a really good book. Have you finished it? Can we talk about the ending? Which they could not do because Jen was the only one who had finished the book in the book club, like any book club, right?
Right.
Great little story from Rainbow Rowell. It felt very earned. It felt very good. I really loved it. And that was what I read. But today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
Pick of the week. It's not Wick of the Peak. It's the other one. Yeah.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
What are you looking forward to this week? Pat, start us out. Indie or mainstream?
I have one. It is indie. Oh.
Okay.
I bet you can guess which one. Grim Spotlight, Masumi number one. Grim Fairy Tales, Zenoscope stuff.
Okay, I wouldn't have guessed. Oh.
I knew it was Grim Fairy Tales. I just didn't know which one it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Masumi is back, the last remaining descendant from the long line of assassins. Masumi was raised as a weapon with deep knowledge of witchcraft and demonic lore, who has seen everyone that she has loved perish in the war against demons. Now a long-thought vanquished enemy of her family has returned and is seeking vengeance. I just want to say the cover is awesome.
Nice. I like it.
Joss, what's your indie picks?
She looks much more like a lady than the last one.
Yes. She is more human looking.
My indie pick is actually a second printing of a number one, so I think somebody else picked this when it came out, from Image Comics, Indigo Children. Just looking over it, I'm excited to read about a journalist hunting down extraordinarily gifted indigo children after their mysterious disappearance 15 years prior. So they're doing the second printing of number one, and number two also comes out this week. So I am going to snag those and see if it's something I want to keep reading. How about you, Jeff? What's your indie pick?
I got two this week. I got Dead Romans number two. I really enjoyed Dead Romans number one, especially the art. So I'm looking forward to number two quite a bit. And then Money Shot Comes Again, number one, from Tim Seeley and the gang that did Money Shot Volume 1 and Money Shot Volume 2. If you guys don't know what it is, basically they are explorers in space. They are scientists. And in order to fund their research, they have sex with aliens that they video and then put it out on the internet and sell it to raise mm-hmm. money. I mean, and that's back in book one, but that's still, it kind of tells you where this is coming from and why I find it so fucking hilarious. The only thing I'm worried about is Sarah Beatty isn't in the line of these, and I don't know why. She was one of the co-writers in the first two volumes, so don't know. Anyway, it looks like fun, and I'm definitely going to read it because I really, really enjoyed the last batch. So, your turn.
My indie picks this week, pretty obvious ones. From Image Comics, we get Plush by Doug Wagner and Daniel Hilliard. This is issue number six. This wraps it up. This is the end of Plush, which has been one of my favorite Doug Wagner serial killer stories so far. I've really enjoyed the hell out of Plush. Probably more so than Vinyl. And I liked Vinyl a lot. I just like Plush even more so. Yeah. So we get the return, and this is straight from the ride. We get the return of a pink unicorn head, which I thought was fucking awesome. Purpley pink unicorn head. And then from, IDW, we get Star Trek number seven, which has been an awesome little piece. This one, I don't know, Pat. Maybe you want to check this one out. The Sisko returns to Deep Space Nine, and we get to see somebody from Lower Decks, which I assume will be Mariner, because she served on Deep Space Nine before joining the crew.
Ooh, yeah. I love it.
Yep, so I'm looking forward to this one. Mainstream from Marvel Comics, Iron Man number five. When you're fighting basically enemies of the X-Men and, somebody who I've learned basically by looking at the solicitations for July's issue of Invincible Iron Man, basically they're going to build Stark Tech Sentinels. You got to enlist the help of some X-Men. So the first one he goes to is Emma Frost, the White Queen.
Oh, yeah. Like you always do.
Right. So this should be fun. I don't know what Emma's going to do or if that's going to work for him, but we'll see. But I think, if it plays according to type, Tony would first go to Emma Stark, the hot blonde lady. Yes. And then from DC Comics, Green Arrow number one, finally coming out. We've been teased this one for quite a few months. I'm looking forward to this. If you like this one, make sure you tell your friends and get people to buy it. I'll let you know next week if it's worth a shit or not. It's one to check out because, as Josh Williamson said, this is only going to be a 6-issue limited series. They're afraid to give Green Arrow ongoing because they worry it won't sell. They don't want to commit to that, but if enough people buy it, it could turn into an ongoing series. So that's what we're looking for, trying to get to make happen. That's great. That's what I'm looking for. How about you, Jeff? What are your mainstreams?
Going to do Unstoppable Doom Patrol number two from DC, because number one was fucking great.
Number one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yes. We'll see how Dennis Culver keeps going on this. And then Exterminators, Marvel Comics. This is volume one, collecting issues 1 through 5 from last year. Written by Leah Williams, one of my favorites right now. I like her. I like her voice. I like the way she, writes. So, definitely going to want to pick up Exterminators, volume one. Jocelyn.
All right. If you have been listening to this show for more than one episode, you know what my pick will be this week. If you know what the solicitations are, because Daredevil has an issue dropping. So Daredevil number 10 is a turning point, you guys. With Elektra at his side, Matt Murdock has launched his most ambitious campaign against injustice ever. You guys, ever. But as recent explosive and destructive events have unfolded, he has found himself more and more isolated and with fewer allies than ever before. And the cover to me is amazingly gorgeous with Captain America's shield all broken.
Oh,
nice.
The Avengers may or may not have made an appearance in episode in issue 9. And again, I know Chip Zdarsky's wrapping up his run on Daredevil in the next few months, and I'm excited to see what kind of peril we leave Matt Murdock in for the next writer to pick up on. So, yeah, that's me. And then, Pat, you didn't have a mainstream pick, right?
I do not.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week, kids. Anything else?
I got nothing.
Nope.
All right. Just well, get ready. I invite it's everyone almost... to join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/dfinmedia. A little bit goes a long way, helps us basically keep these shows going.
Did you know, though, that giving big goes a further way?
It goes a lot further.
Okay, I'd throw that out there. That's an option.
Yeah, it is an option. And we've got some very active Patreon members who are keeping us alive and keeping us running. Join our squad! Help us form a platoon, apparently. For this squad. And this week we got another list.
Yes!
We got another list. This one is not from the guy I hate over at CBR. This is from UpRocks, but honestly, I think I disagree with this list almost as much. But our list is the movies of the DCEU ranked. The ranked movies of the DCEU.
Ranked, and, you say?
Ranked. So we're gonna check out the ranked movies of the DCEU this week on Patreon. So join us, patreon.com/dfinmedia. Get in there, become one of our Patreon members, and help us out, help us support the show. And if you want to help support the show, if you love us, why not show it? Drop on over to DFin Media's shop.
Haberdashery.
Haberdashery, as it were.
Yep.
You can get there from a link that says shop the shows at thecomicbookpodcast.com, and you can pick up some awesome t-shirts. Awesome t-shirts.
Don't forget, first Saturday in May, the 6th, free comic book day at your local comic book shop. Don't forget.
And if you're local here in Salt Lake City area, I will be at the World Tai Chi Day on Saturday, the 29th,
Japanese Festival?
What's that?
Is it at the Japanese Festival?
It is not. It is not. Let me look it up real fast. I cannot remember the park now, and I'm feeling the dumb for not remembering.
That's all right. I lost a punchline early in the show.
Oh. You know, I don't need to review my page. Thank you. I just need to see my posting. It will be the west side of Washington Square Park at Fort South and State Street.
Oh.
So on the west side, we start at 10 a.m. So if you've ever had any interest in Tai Chi or Qigong, come check us. Come find out about it. I am not hosting, so I will be there and will be able to answer. I won't be busy running the damn show. I'll be able to answer questions or do whatever. But yeah, former students have agreed to show up. So we'll be doing Tai Chi there. That's Saturday morning, starting at 10 a.m. Warm up starting at 9:30 a.m. And that's at the west side of Washington Square Park in Salt Lake City on the 29th. Boom. And I will say, as I always do, until the Wasp goes veto, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
Oh, balls.
For Seabass.
Seabass.